So this year we are going through our core values with a series of sermons on each of our five core values. Our core values can be found on our website. This is an example of what that looks like. And you can go to the About Us tab there and you can find all of our core values there. We also have printed material out at the Information Center. We have a brochure, and I have those right here, actually. We have a brochure, a trifold version, and we have a handout, just like a little half sheet, easy to get a hold of handout. Both of these are available at the Information Center, so we want to make sure our church is fully aware and fully connected with the, that needs to go down here for announcements, otherwise I will forget it. So we've got those, we want to make sure our church is totally on board and with the core values. In fact, as we're starting this search for a youth and children's minister, we have some must-haves. And in fact, you can on our website, you can go and you can look at a PDF there. This is in your bulletin. You can go there and you can find the PDF of what we have sent out to a number of the colleges in our search as our search is beginning for that. And we have some must-haves on there. And there are some basic must-haves, but then the last must-have is you must be able to look at our vision, or our mission, and our core values, and agree with them and support them fully. So we don't want to bring anyone in that can't do what we're wanting to do here. So we're really really wanting to dig into these core values. That's why we're having a series of sermons on each core value. And these core values, they're so very important. They help to shape us as a church, to shape our focus, kind of like guardrails on the side of the road, the lines, stay in between the lines. As a church, they help us, they remind us what's important here at Miami Town, to inspire us all to step up and to step forward in our faith, our personal faith, but also our faith collectively as a church body together. That we would come into times of worship and we would come into our time of worship with a question in our heart of what can I bring to worship God? What can I give of myself? What can I offer of my heart? Instead of what am I going to get out of the worship service today? Or what was displeasing to me? Or what you know, because those are questions that say, what's in it for me? And that's not how we are to come to worship. Last week we talked about Abraham and Isaac, and the first place that the word worship shows up in Scripture, it was a time of offering, a time of sacrifice, a time of and not just, we're talking level 10 offering and sacrifice, where that word shows up for the first time in our Bibles. These core values, they would help us to focus in as a church so that every time God's word is opened, that we go into that with an attitude that we are going to be equipped. We are going to gain more tools for our toolbox so that we can be better at the mission of Jesus for the church, and specifically the mission that God has called us to as Miami Town Church of Christ. That we would view our view of fellowship would grow deeper, and that we would challenge and encourage each other to personal growth and involvement in the kingdom. I've got a number of relationships that are at that level, and they're good and they're tough. They are necessary, and we all should be that way with each other, and these core values are going to drive us there. That we would actively invest into God's kingdom, not just with our money. All right, you guys do a great job there, and that is something to say, you know, your money is where your faith is, and that shows. Your treasure is where your heart is, what Jesus spoke about there, but not just to stop there. But that we would give of our time, and we would give of our talents and our gifts, and that we would actively invest with action, with involvement and teamwork together. That we would be involved in personally sharing Jesus with others. We have a baptistry behind me. Church, it's time to start putting that to work again. And that's not just on one person or the leadership. We have all been commissioned to do that. And that's these core values move that direction. You can't follow these core values and neglect the gospel mission that we've been given through Jesus Christ. That we would have an unyielding commitment to God because we both fear and love him. Earlier this year, we had our first series on the first core value. And our first core value is that God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. And then now, till the end of June, we are unpacking our second core value, devoted to God. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. The key scripture for our second core value is Matthew 16:24. And it reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's Jesus' definition for the level of devotion that he expects of his followers. Not just the leaders in the church, not just the elders of the church, not just the pioneers of the first church, the apostles. This is Jesus' expectation for anyone that is going to follow him, that you would take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And that's what we are all expected to do. That is the life we are all expected to live. Last week, we started this series by talking about devoted choices. Today, we're talking about devoted life. Devoted life. Paul personalizes Jesus' expectation to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him when he writes to the Galatian churches and he says, "I have been crucified with Christ." He takes that into a very personal movement here. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And Paul says, "I've done this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And Paul says, that's what I did. That's how I understood my conversion, was that I was crucified. This goes hand in hand with what, and actually I'm going to rewind a little bit. I need to get to that in a minute. I was about to jump a page ahead. Some of you guys are like, yeah, let's jump. but Paul details out here some of what this lifestyle looks like. What it looks like to live up to Jesus' expectations as his followers. What it looks like to live a life that is joined in Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. What it really means to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It means that we have been crucified with Christ. Not a wooden cross with iron nails, but an abandonment of self. Those are strong words in our core value. Full dependence on God. Complete abandonment of self. But what Jesus teaches is nothing less. And what the church at large teaches is a whole lot less. We're not going to be one of those churches, church. We're teaching the gospel the way the gospel is presented by Jesus Christ. And it's full abandonment. Complete abandonment. To live a life that has been crucified with Christ. That you have died to your old self and you live a new life in Christ. Not just a new life. Some people, they die and they raise to a new life and they're very thankful for the salvation they've gotten. They're very thankful for the forgiveness they've gotten, but they leave that part out. That's a new life in Christ. That's very important part of that. We can't live a fully dependent life on God without complete abandonment of self. It does not work when you're hanging on to pieces, threads, whatever it may be. It doesn't work. Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ." And that should be us as well. Let's break this passage down here. Let's go all the way back up to, all the way back up. It's just two verses. But back up in the very first half of verse 20. Let's reread that. "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ," read those last three words with me. What? "Lives in me." Let's write this down. "I'm dependent on Christ in me. Christ lives in us. Paul paints a picture, and this is where I was going a few minutes ago, but I didn't want to mess our PowerPoint up there by taking the scripture out of order. Paul paints a picture of this in Romans 6 when he talks about baptism, and this goes hand in hand with the deep connection that we have that Paul's describing here in Galatians 2:20, that we've been crucified with Christ. In Romans 6, he says, but don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And in Galatians 2:20, it's a new life in Christ. It's hand in hand with this. We have been crucified with Christ. This is not just some neat little imagery that we get from Scripture. It's not just a picture. It is a very intimate connection that we have with Christ. It is a very real connection. We have died with him, joined in his death, he says in Romans 6, buried with him and raised to a new life. In Galatians 2:20 here, I have been crucified with Christ. It's a very real connection because the result is very real. The result's not superficial. The result is not some flowery little picture or some image that's a feel-good image of I'm with Christ. No, you join with Christ's death. That's what we do. And you raise anew, and you know that's real because the result of that is not just forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not imagery. That's reality. That is our reality. That is our truth. God lives in us. And that is connected to us joining into Jesus' death. That's the precursor. And the result is this new life in Christ because he lives in us. Full dependence requires complete abandonment of self. And that's a hard teaching. Those are weighty words in our core value, but they accurately represent the truth found in Scripture. We have a few people here that study the Bible well. Put Mike on the spot. Accurate description. Yeah, Dave. Accurate description. Put Jim on the spot. I just found out that Jim did some teaching. Accurate description, correct? Yeah. I'll go over here. I got Patty. Where'd she go? Nope, she left with the kids. Or she's still back there. Is she hiding? There she is. Yeah, she's a teacher downstairs. Accurate description. It's not easy teaching, but that is an accurate description of what Christ calls us to in Scriptures. Complete abandonment of self. Full dependence requires that. Paul doesn't say that it's like he was sort of crucified with Christ. He's very blunt about it. Jesus doesn't say just bend a little, just steer a little towards, you know, this really neat kingdom philosophy. If you can just kind of steer in that direction. No, Jesus says that if you hang on to your life, you will lose it. The only way to gain life in him is to give it away, to lay it down, to sacrifice it, to die to yourself, so that we are then raised with Christ and him in us. So to be dependent on Christ, we must abandon ourself. And so in doing this, these are very simple little notes, but things I think we all need to be reminded of from time to time. So I abandon trying to live by my own strength. Let's write that down. Because I think this is something every one of us falls into from time to time. Let me remind you, church, let me encourage you this morning. He is in you. If you are a Christian, if you have been baptized into Christ as a result of your decision to follow him, because you believe that he is God's only son, that he died on the cross for you and rose from the dead by the power of God, then his Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he is in you. And let me encourage you, he is your strength. You are not your strength. Joe shared with us a few weeks ago that very point. God is our strength. So why do we continue to pridefully push through on our own strength so often? That's not dying to yourself. That's trying to keep your old self alive. That's keeping your old self on life support. Let it go. The call to your life now is not to live on your own strength, but to live on the strength of God who is in you. In order to depend on his strength in you, you have to abandon trying to live on your own strength. It's not easy teaching. And it doesn't make sense. But when you take the step of faith and you discover the reality and the truth of these statements, it's life-changing. So I abandon trying to live by my own wisdom. Let's write that down. We abandon living by our own strength. We abandon living by our own wisdom. I don't care how smart or wise you think you are. You do not hold a candle to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and the things that he has to teach you. He opens our eyes so that we can see Scripture clearly. The wise guidance that you feel that you can give yourself with your own life, it is nothing compared to the wise guidance that you can find in God's Word. You've seen the mess that your mind can make of your life. I've seen the mess that my mind can make of my life. The things, when we know we're making bad choices, we still do that. But sometimes we think we're making good choices. But they're not being guided by God's Spirit. They're not being, we're not basing them on the wisdom of God's Word. You know, even when I think I'm being wise. Listen to this. This is one of my go-to scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:15, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." So that one can actually go at the first point. But the second point here is the first part of that verse. But listen, church, even God's dumbest thought is smarter than your wisest thought. So we need to fully abandon depending on our own wisdom and lean on his wisdom. To be dependent on Christ in you, then you'll be wise. When I meet with couples and we go through premarital sessions and I'm helping them get ready for their wedding day and make this big mile marker step in their life, I'll tell them whether or not they come from inside our church here. Some people come from outside our church. They like our church building. They say, "Can we get married here?" And I'm like, "Sure. But I'm going to take about 6 hours of your life before that happens because I want to be able to do what I can to help prepare you for this big step in your life." And when we enter into these times, I tell them, I'm going to be going to God's Word for his truth and his wisdom, not because I'm a preacher, because I believe it to be true. I don't just go there because it's my job and I got to do this and you got to do this, so let's sit through this time. You know, it's only supposed to be about 4 hours. It ends up being about 6 hours total. You know, go figure. I'm sure that's hard for you guys to believe. But I tell them, I'm going to go straight to God's Word because that's where the wisdom is. Now, I will share with you my experiences of living in his Word or veering out of his Word. But make no mistake about it, the wisdom is from God's Word, not from this guy. And that's what we all need to do. It's depending on God's wisdom. And the only way to do that is to abandon your own wisdom. And I tell you, it is a great thing to do that. You become far more wise than you ever would be on your own wisdom. And it feels counterintuitive. But to let it go and let him fill you, that's the picture. That's the idea. That's being crucified with Christ. And now he lives in me. That's Christ in me. That requires a complete abandonment of self to lead to a full dependence on him. And we abandon trying to live by my own desires and ambitions. Psalm 37, you guys can write that down in a minute. It'll be back up on the screen in a minute, but I wanted to show this verse to you here. Psalm 37:4, I think this is an interesting little verse. It says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts." I think that's very self-fulfilling if you think about it. Because if you delight in the Lord, what's the desire of your heart? It is the single best thing that your heart could ever desire. Delight in the Lord, and you've already got what your heart desires. You have Him, and there's no better thing to delight in. So you guys can keep writing that note there. For my own, we need to abandon trying to live for my own desires and ambitions. When you abandon your own desires and ambitions to fully depend on God, then you will find delight in the Lord. You won't do it if you're hanging on to other pieces and other things. It's not going to happen. And you're going to be frustrated because you're like, you know, I want it to happen. I want to feel this way. I want to have this total, you know, delight in the Lord, and He'll give me the desires of my heart. It's not going to happen when you're hanging on to your own ambitions and desires. Let them go. I'm trying to tighten things up here a little bit, but let me just pause for a moment for a story not in my notes. A long time ago, feels funny saying that, but half my life ago, I went to college because I felt a strong calling to be a Christian musician. And I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I want to take some Bible classes, I want to take some music classes, and I want to write songs, and I want to travel, and I want to share the gospel through music. And so that was my personal ambition, that was my personal desire, and I felt like it was a calling on my life. And so I got in this band, and I got on that band, I put this band together, and it just, nothing was working. And so I sold a lot of my guitar equipment, and it's okay, Buzzy. don't do that. I let go of a clean finish SG that was just like a nice soft wood, not gloss, just beautiful, through neck. I let go of a number of things. I kept just enough to play in praise bands and to play in the jazz band because that was part of my music. I was going to continue on with that. But I was just like, okay, God, I'm done fighting you. I'm done. I'll do what you want me to do. And then I've shared with you some of the story of my calling into speaking. And after that summer of having that calling, it was months later that I had a guy come up to me and say, hey, I need a coffee shop. I need a band for a coffee shop, and I think you're the guy for the job. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yeah, I think you are. And I said, no, God has shared with me different. And I've sold my equipment. And he's like, no, I really think it's you. Would you pray about it? And I was, you know, that's all, when they throw that in there, you know, would you pray about it? Yeah, I'll pray about it. And so I did. And so I got the group together that ended up being the group I traveled with for 8 years. And I got an extra guitarist in there because I fully expected to be leaving. And after that, and if I would have planned on sharing this, I could have remembered exactly some of the things, but I came across a guitar amp that was a whole lot cheaper than it should have been, and it's the guitar amp I still play to this day. Great sounding amp. I came across my Les Paul for like, I think it was like $500 for that Les Paul that I play. It was from a guy at a church that I went to before I went to college, and he was getting rid of it and had been trying to get rid of it, and I said, are you still trying to get rid of that Les Paul? And he said, yeah. And we had played in the praise band before. And I said, how much? And he said, I'll give it to you for $500. And I was like, and there were about three or four other things that happened where God said, I just wanted you to turn your ambition over to me. So sometimes we have the right calling. Sometimes we have the right feeling. But sometimes we're even chasing after that for the wrong reasons. See, complete abandonment of self. That's the only way you're going to have full dependence on Him. Complete abandonment of self. So when you delight in the Lord, there you're going to find the best thing that your heart could find, the best desire, ambition that you could find. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I'm dependent on Christ in me, so I abandon trying to live on my own strength, by my own wisdom, for my own desires and ambitions. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by what? Live by faith. Those three words. If you want to circle those, highlight those, whatever. If you're in your YouVersion, you can just highlight them real quick. Live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul connects faith and action, just the same theology that James captures when he says you cannot divorce faith and action. You can't separate them. They are one and the same. They work together. Where you have faith, you will have deeds. Where you have sincere belief in the power of the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection action will accompany that belief. And that's another area of dependence for us. Let's write this down. My life is dependent on actions of faith in Jesus. Paul says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. To live by faith, that's actions of faith. This isn't just kingdom extra credit. This is what is expected of every Christian when we die with Christ and we are raised with him and him in us. This is the new life of the new creation that we are in Christ, a life dependent on actions of faith in Jesus. So in order to have this dependence, we have to have a complete abandonment of self. Full dependence requires complete abandonment of self. So let's write this down. So I abandon any thought or practices that reduce faith to only belief. Church, that's just bad theology. To believe that faith is synonymous with belief, that faith is only belief, to reduce faith to only belief. Faith is connected to action, and that is throughout the Bible. That is plain and simple. James lays it out for us in James chapter 2. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is what? It's dead. But someone will say, you always have that guy, or that girl, or that person. You have faith. I have deeds. We'll just do separate parts here. James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. We must abandon false doctrine, the false doctrine that many buy into, that faith is only belief. That is a very self-centered theology. To receive salvation because we have believed, confessed, repented, and we were baptized into Christ, but to not connect that to faith in action, that is selfish and self-centered. I'm in it for what I can get out of it, and to divorce that from deeds, to divorce faith from deeds, is never anything that is taught in the Bible. So, and we have a lot of people in the church at large, in the church for the past 2,000 years, that have bought into that false theology, that and they've reduced faith to only belief. Our faith must be connected to action. Paul says in Galatians 2:20 here, he says that the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. It's faith in actions. We must live our faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And Jesus' life there is the example. I live by faith. It's faith in actions. And then he gives us this little reminder here of Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. The core of the gospel is about action, is it not? It's about faith in action. It's about obedience in action. If that's what Jesus did for us, then how do we expect to do anything less if we call ourselves followers of Christ? It's not the idea Jesus had in mind was to believe and then just sit. Jesus said, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow me. Every one of those, that all of that is action. Jesus is a living example of understanding this faith in action. Paul continues, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. My life is dependent on the grace of God. Let's write that down. My life is dependent on the grace of God. So I abandon any thoughts of self-merit or an attitude of entitlement. See, when we lean on, when we put value in, when we put worth, trust, or reliance on our own ability to hold some level of self-merit, then are we not setting aside the grace of God? Let me unpack that a little bit. If righteousness could be gained through our own merit, then why did Christ die? That's what Paul said. I need God's grace because I am flawed. Thank you for not amening that. Even on my best day, I'm not going to make the cut. And neither are you. None of us are. So we must abandon any thought that goes down that road, any thought of self-merit. I am who I am strictly because the grace of God. And you can amen that. That's what's so great about the spiritual gifts that we've been given and the calling that God has put on our life. Every bit of that is out of grace, the same grace that saved you. We just had a spiritual gifts series not too long ago where we talked about this. The gifts that we've been given are out of God's grace. I'm not great because of me. I'm great because of him, because of his gifts. I'm not in this position in the body because of me. I'm in this position in the body because he called me to this position. He gifted me to this position. It's the very same thing with every one of us in the body. That's how it works. Every bit of that from start to finish is grace and grace alone. It's nothing that we earn. It's nothing that we have any kind of self-merit. And when we entertain those thoughts, we entertain the thoughts of moving away and setting aside the grace of God. I'm okay here. I don't need... No, listen, you always need the grace of God on your best day, on your worst day. That is the fact. And anytime we have entertain any thought of self-reliance on this self-merit, we risk setting aside the grace of God. And this is strong teaching. But Paul's not messing around here with the Galatian church. We can't set aside the grace of God. That must be the core. That must be what our life is built on and based on and where our value comes from. See, my value should never come from me. My value comes from what God sees in me, from what God has gifted in me, from what God has given me, what God has called me to. I have value because he loves me. I have value because he looks at me through grace-filled eyes. That's where my value comes from, and that doesn't shift from day to day. We talk about self-esteem, and I don't buy into self-esteem. I buy into God esteem, that my esteem comes from God's view of me, not my view of myself. My view of myself isn't great. And that's very truthful. When I'm looking at myself negatively, I have to understand this is the truth. I am a messed up person. I am a flawed person. That doesn't lead down good roads at all. When we place our faith in God and a full dependence on his grace, then we have to abandon any thought of self-merit to receive the gift of that grace, not the gift of the grace, but the gift of that mindset that we go through life, that freedom of knowing that I really have value because of who God is, because of his grace. I have a purpose. I have a position in his body because of his grace, not because I've done anything to earn it. Anything any of us are is because of grace. Now, we're told in Scripture that we are to live up to the calling, so there's work involved. We hone the gift. We're responsible with the gift. We don't bury it like the one guy that took the one talent and buried it. We invest it like the one that had two and the one that had five, and we invest. Getting the best amen ever. And to think anything different is going down a road of setting God's grace aside. We must have a full dependence on his grace. In order that, we must abandon any thoughts of self-merit. We must abandon any attitude of entitlement. We aren't saved because we deserve it. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. Every one of us. The Bible is clear about that. But we've received salvation through Christ. Why? Because of God's grace. We cannot set aside the grace of God because we have some belief that we have the ability to gain some level of righteousness on our own. We cannot set aside the grace of God because we believe that we've earned some value or some worth because of something that we have done or something we have become or some position of prestige that we've worked up to or some level of wealth that we've gained or some place of influence or power that we have. We have value and worth because of God, because he looks at us in love through grace-filled eyes. That's where our value is found. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Full dependence requires complete abandonment of self. Do a quick little exercise here with you. This is just scripture right here in your bulletin. Let's go to the scripture, John chapter 15. Let's fill in these blanks that are Jesus' very words. Let's go and hit this verse 4 here. Write this down. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Yeah, much fruit. Apart from me, you can what? Do nothing. Jesus is very clear. We are to remain in him, live in him as he lives in us. We are to live connected to him. He is the vine, we are the branches. That's the picture of this that Jesus is sharing with his disciples the night of his arrest. We can do nothing apart from him. We can't bear fruit by ourselves. We can only bear fruit by remaining in him and he in us. If we live this way, if we live the devoted life, then we will not only bear fruit, but we will bear what? Much fruit. So look at your life right now and give yourself an honest evaluation based on Jesus' words. Am I bearing fruit? It's really that simple. He says, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. So we can just start with, am I bearing any fruit? Or am I doing nothing? Am I bearing much fruit? Or do I not even have a bud on the tree? Because what Jesus says is if you remain in me, you remain connected to me, you will bear much fruit. And that's the litmus test. Am I bearing fruit? See, we shouldn't be concerned with all the things that we concern ourselves with. We should be concerned with one thing, and that is staying connected with Jesus Christ. To remain in him. We should be concerned with him living in us, that would be a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. If you came this morning wanting a Father's Day message, then here it is, fathers, man up. Man up, men in this room, fathers, dads. Focus on the single most important thing of your life and stop being so distracted with all the other things that really don't matter. You want to be the best dad you can be? You connect with the dad, our Father in heaven. You remain in Christ. You remain connected to the vine and you bear much fruit. You show your children, you show your wife, you show those around you that this is what a faith-filled life looks like. This is what it looks like to be crucified with Christ and to live in him and he in us, to remain in him, connected to the vine, bearing much fruit. Full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Let's write that down. Full dependence on him. Complete abandonment of self. And as you're writing that down, I'm going to read the context of our key scripture. Matthew chapter 16. We've already read the first verse. It says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done. Faith and deeds are connected even there. Full dependence on him. Complete abandonment of self. Crucified with Christ. Dependent on Christ in me. And so we abandon trying to live on our own strength, by our own wisdom, for our own desires and ambitions. My life is dependent on the actions of faith in Christ. So I abandon any thought or practice that reduces faith to only belief. My life is dependent on the grace of God, so I abandon the thought of self-merit or entitlement. And we focus on remaining in Him and Him in us so that we will bear much fruit. And we understand the reality that apart from Him, we can do nothing. No branch can bear fruit by itself. The devoted life. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for the guidance you give us in Scripture. Father, for this little passage here in Galatians, that we would be reminded of the come and die mentality that is attached to the gospel. To come and to die to ourselves, to be resurrected in your Son Jesus, to have Him live in us and through us. And that would be our sole purpose, our sole desire would be to chase after you. Father, thank you so very much. I ask that you would guide us and lead us, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us now and help us to see the areas in our life where we're holding back, that you would help us to move as a congregation to a complete abandonment of self and a full dependence on you. Thank you so much for the example you've given to us through your Son Jesus, who did just that. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us that empowers us, gives us wisdom and strength to follow through with your desires and your mission. Thank you so much for your word and the guidance and wisdom we have there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.